Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is December 2nd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of the archives. We love having you on live, though, and in fact, would definitely encourage all of you to set your calendars to be on live next week, because we have a guest speaker that I think is actually going to be really cool. I've mentioned him a couple times when one of our MV Pros and I went to a young professionals group meeting. And they actually let me in, because obviously those of you that have seen me, I just look young, you know, and people were like, that guy is definitely fits into the young professionals, which is actually not true, but they said anybody was welcome, even old guys like me. But anyway, we went to the young professionals meeting of the local water treatment, and there were a ton of people there that were involved in the local municipality. So I actually, next week, we have a guest speaker who is the, his name is Stephen Lawn, and he is actually the, he's the chair of the Young Professionals Committee for the Long Island Water Conference. So he's going to talk. He's an engineer that has helped design a lot of the municipal water treatment systems on Long Island, and I just think it's going to be really interesting to get that perspective. So he's coming on as a guest next week. Please join us live. You know, it's always nice to have as many people on as possible. So that should be interesting. And then we, I think, counting this one, only have maybe three more, maybe only two more, or three more MV Pro calls of the year, because we usually take the time around Christmas off. And decide whether, I think it's the 23rd would be the last one. So, but I'm not sure if we're going to hold it on the 23rd or not. I'll discuss that with Jen. But anyway, we're going to start the call off the way we do every week, just about, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions anybody may have?
Kelly, I do, if nobody else does.
Jen, really? That surprises the heck out of me. I had no idea that you had something you wanted to say. Really?
Really? For those who joined before the recording started.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Jen.
We have touched on this conversation, this topic in the past, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but, you know, coming off a personal experience. So many of you know that, you know, I'm in the process of selling my mom's home, which has been a very difficult decision, a very difficult decision. And I happened to have somebody who was a friend that was helping me out in the beginning process of selling the home. And she was a realtor. Let me back up. Originally, we were going to try to purchase the home. Things didn't work out. So she went through the process and explained to me, just like we do in the industry, where we go out, we test the water, and, you know, give our recommendations. Well, just so happened that literally somebody walked in off the street, house across sale, it was across the street was for sale. They weren't able to pass inspection. I had a for sale by owner sign out in the front yard. They literally came knocking on the door, said, can we look at the house, even though we were still in the middle of painting and putting on door handles and things, and fell in love with it, and within 15 minutes gave me an offer that was significantly more than what I was told I would get for the home. So the next day I sent her a text message. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I sold the house. mentor the situation. I was expecting, hey, great job. You know, not, hey, great job, can I help you out or anything like that, but hey, that's great to hear. Instead, I got this list of all the things that I should have checked, and I could have got so much more money for the house. And, you know, I just got this list of negativity. And I later on told her, I'm like, that was such a buzzkill. It really was, because finally I felt like something was going right. I fell in love with this family that was looking for this home. It's exactly what my grandfather who built the house would love to have. And she still came back with so much negativity. And I finally, I had told her, and now, you know, it sounded like it was too good to be true. It really did. But, and I told her, I said, well, if it turns out that this is too good to be true, if things don't work out, then we go ahead and we list it as we originally planned. But then I started thinking about it. Do I want to list this with somebody who was not happy for me and had so much negativity? And in my mind's eye, without sounding like a jerk, really was a sore loser. And so, and I know, Kelly, you've had a similar situation where you had kind of called and told people that, hey, I decided not to go with you for carpeting. And I'm going to let you go ahead and you can talk about your situation.
Well, I have a couple comments. First off, I mean, let's not forget as we're going through this that there are real emotions. I mean, I want to just take the other side for just a second, not to negate the point that you're making or that we want to make on this, Jen. But you know, realtors are also they're basically straight commission. And I've got a couple friends that are realtors. Obviously, I listed my house, and I know that realtors day in and day out are having people ask them questions, to do quotes, to, you know, they do a lot of work for free, a lot. Where it never comes to fruition, because, you know, where people, they think that realtors make a ton of money because they sell, you know, they see the commission they get, but it's really not. Realtors are having to spend a lot of their own money to buy their own signs, and, you know, they're all basically independent contractors that have their own businesses. So there's a lot of expense that goes into making one sale. So you can understand where the emotion and the frustration would come from, particularly if they're having, you know, sometimes it's easy for them to, and I'm not suggesting that you did this by any means, Jen, but because I think this is part of the job, right? I think it's easy to understand, though, why they get frustrated when they, you know, when somebody buys from somewhere else or something like this. And it reminds me a little bit of the feeling that we might have when we spend a ton of time testing somebody's water and doing a plumbing assessment and going out and really helping them, only to find that they bought a system from Home Depot or Lowe's or online. You know, very frustrating to do that. So the question is, do we continue to go out there and build those relationships? I think if we're professionals, yes, we do, because, you know, and that's where, in my opinion, it sounds like your realtor may have fallen short. You mentioned the situation with the carpet guy, you know, which I talked a little bit about in my book, where when I built my house, I tried to use people that had used me, you know, people that had bought from me before. And there were three people. I mean, there was my builder who hadn't, but I really like my builder. There was a guy that I had done some business with before that I bought carpet from. And then there were two people actually that had bought systems from me that sold carpet. So I looked at them and decided on the one when I called the other two to tell them I wasn't doing it. It was the same thing. They guilted me in, you know, I thought we had a relationship. And I mean, it was really degrading me and making me feel that just really putting me down, really, for making what was a pretty difficult decision. You know, that was, you know, and as is happening with you right now, it ruins any future opportunity. You know, it absolutely ruins any future opportunity. And then, and maybe even a personal relationship that you might have with that person as well. So I think when you have those situations, recognize that you know, it could be just a bad day. Somebody, the salesperson, it really does have a real impact on their income and you know, and by extension, their families and their lives. But if you are that salesperson, understand that that's part of what your job is. It's part of what we do. You know, that you, if you, sales, you guys have heard me say this before, Jen said this, Corey said this, sales should always be more about giving, give more than you take. I don't think sales is that hard when you walk in and you genuinely care about the person. Like you genuinely, obviously we're not professional visitors. We need to make money. That's what we do for a living. That is how we put food on the table. But the sales actually come naturally. They come pretty easy when you approach every customer as if you're there to help them. You know, don't let yourself be taken advantage of. But if you do feel like you're being taken advantage of, just remove yourself from the situation. You know, don't degrade or make somebody. I mean, in your case, Jen, I just what you're saying, all the emotions there, this, whoever, you know, this realtor was, they forgot that that's what they do. You know, I mean, I think being a realtor would be awesome. A struggle and a tough job, definitely a difficult job in many cases, but to be part of what are life-changing events for so many people, that sounds pretty cool. And it sounds to me like your realtor forgot that naturally.
Right.
I mean, I think it's normal. It's normal to forget that when there are incomes involved, okay? But I think it's a healthy reminder that's right. What we need to be doing when we're in sales is we are impacting people's lives. I mean, when we're walking in there, we're making their water healthier and their, you know, all the reasons. I mean, I love seeing, that's one of my favorite things when I do the follow-up and people are like, oh, we should have done this years ago. This is so great. You know, it's a cool feeling. So anyway,
right.
Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Or Jen, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think just to add to it is that I know the situation you had with the carpeting was you had called up the multiple people and said, and one of them happened to be Tim, I think it was, and you said, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go with you. And he's like, okay, if there's anything I can do in the future,
yeah,
let me know. You know?
Exactly.
That right there.
And that's who I ended up going with.
Exactly. And that right there is, I guess, the moral of what I have to say is that, you know, had she said, you know, congratulations, or I understand, or, you know, great opportunity, then I would have been, you know, and like I told her, if this doesn't go through for whatever reason, I mean, it has been going so smoothly other than this situation, then I told her, then we go ahead and we list it. And of course, I'll use you. And I also, you know, on a side note, my intentions were to kind of, you know, do something for her. But anyway, you know, just I think your initial response really means a lot to people. Now, if let's just say that somebody decides to go with somebody else because they're less money, and they come to find out that either the equipment or the service or whatever are not what they were looking for, then maybe it's because they didn't buy from you. And this is perfect. My windows, I didn't buy from the most expensive, but the guy was phenomenal, and I referred him to three other people that were building brand new homes that could afford him. The company I went with was not the best company. I'm really disappointed. So I guess, you know, moral of the story is just your reaction to when somebody doesn't go with you, don't make it a bad reaction. Just kind of a thank you for the opportunity to give you the give you a quote, and if there is anything that you need, please feel free to call me.
Yeah. If there's in, you know, thank you for putting something in from somebody, you know, for doing something, you know, that on behalf of the industry. Yeah. Excellent. Anybody else have anything to add to that before we jump into our topic here? So I ended up writing an article on this topic for water quality products that should hopefully be out in the next couple of months. But I was doing some research on, you know, the ages. So everybody, I don't know if you guys know what you are. I didn't even really know what I was in terms of, I mean, I think I knew that I was like a Gen X, Generation X. I don't remember when we started naming our generations, you know, officially naming them. It seems like that happened sometime in my lifetime, but apparently it's been going on for a long time. And over the last several years, you know, millennials, every time we go to a networking group or a convention, everybody would talk about the millennials, you know, and that's where you know, everybody sort of fell into those categories on where they were. So it got me thinking. I wrote the article in terms of just looking at hiring and bringing these people, you know, bringing different age groups in. But it got me thinking about whether or not we approach them differently when we sell. So let me first go through the age groups here that we basically mostly are dealing with. We've got and you do have the greatest generation or the silent generation, but those are World War I, World War II, you know, born around that time period. They're much, much older. So I kind of stayed with what I think our most likely customers are going to be. And then you have the baby boomers first. Those are the generally people that are age 57 to 75, thereabouts. And those are baby boomers, a lot of grandparents now, you know, certainly the older, you know, maybe husband and wife that are there. You've got your Generation X, which is where I fall. That's 42 to 57. Those are the people who kind of grew up in the 80s. You know, they're the kids of the boomers for the most part. Generation Y, which is what the millennials are. Although if you talk to a millennial, most millennials do not like to be called millennials, and I think it's because they got such a bad rap. Most of them prefer to be called young professionals, the young professionals. But it's interesting because many of us that I've talked to think of millennials as being these young people coming into the workforce. But millennials or Generation Y or the young professionals, that group, they're actually age 26 to 42. So potentially they could be grandparents now. You know, if they're at the higher end of that, they could, you know, their kids could have kids. So these are, you know, they are almost probably the most of what, you know, who we're selling to. I mean, I would say Generation X and the Generation Y are probably our biggest customer base. And then Generation Z, I didn't know what we were calling the people coming, just now entering into the workforce. These are people ages 12 to 25. So at the, you know, they're following the Generation Y, but Generation Z, also known as Zoomers. I never heard that term before. Apparently, though, that is what they're calling them. Whereas, you know, you have the Boomers. These are the Zoomers that are age, like I said, 12 to 25. So at the older of those are definitely our customer base. You know, they're out there potentially maybe buying their first home. Although, you know, they're buying less and less homes now, but it's possible, you know, to see that. It's possible that they're coming out. Maybe they're aware of drinking water or they're looking at drinking water. So what I wanted to talk about just for a little while today is have you had a situation or have you ever really thought about it where age has an impact? I mean, how would the age of your customer have an impact on your presentation or the way you are, you know, approaching your sales presentation, your sales? Anybody ever given any thought to that?
To an extent, yes. I will go over more of the gee whiz factors and use more of the technical, the app presentation. If they're younger, if they're older, I'm not pulling out the app and doing the presentation.
Interesting. Okay, so and that's true because the Zoomers are the younger people are definitely more in tune with social media and technology and those sorts of things. Okay, very very good. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Go ahead. Or is that
Well, also you are. High efficiency now is Wi-Fi enabled with an app and
yeah.
Of our drinking water systems. I'll go over the app with people that are going to be more app-oriented. A lot of that's age-wise, but that being said, I am actually at the very tail end of the boomers because boomers apparently go through like February 64.
Right.
I was born in January 64. I'm like, seriously, people, I'm not really a boomer, but according to the actual dates, I am. But I'm sitting here with an Alexa Echo next to me.
Yeah.
I turn on all my Christmas trees and my living room lights with my Echo.
Yeah.
Which
is now speaking to you. What would you like for a Christmas tree this year? You just said it. You just said the word. It's all just activated. So
exactly, and it'll activate sometimes with the TV from a commercial.
So how about anybody else? Anybody else? Does it impact you at all? Do you give any thought? I think your points there, Stacey, are really interesting. There, you know, with the technology and being, you know, aware of the different people that might be more familiar with technology. That's kind of interesting. What else? Anybody else anybody else have that impact at all?
Something that I've been noticing is that there are a lot of the younger generations are looking more to their parents for assistance on purchasing. And I think part of that is because parents, we were either helicopter parents, you know, my generation, helicopter parents are also known as snowplow parents, where we clear the path and then let them, you know, we don't make them go to school of hard knocks like we did. And, but they are looking into, you know, they're asking their parents, what do I do? And I think that the, you know, just getting more guidance from the older generations.
You know, it's going to be interesting, Jen, to see what happens with the Zoomers. This is something I've been noticing in terms of hiring and employment, because I think that was a lot, you know, that was very true. It's one of the reasons the Gen Y, the millennials, if you will, got the reputation, because they, you know, many of them had parents that sort of cleared the path, you know, that did that for them. And so, you know, they went to school and school was paid for. They had less siblings than our generation did in many cases. You know, and they, I think that was, you know, I think that was true why, you know, and one of the reasons they got the reputation that they did. And obviously there are always exceptions and, you know, you paint with a broad stroke and it can't cover everything. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens as the Zoomers continue to come into the consumer base, because when you think about the young people, they grew up, you know, they everything was going along fine. They had, you know, they had their own room in their house and their Xbox and all the stuff that they, you know, they had their phone, their cell phones, the internet, everything. They had full access to all that. But many of them were coming of age. You know, what was happening 10 years ago, you know, or 12 years ago, you were having the beginning of the recession, you know, the Great Recession. So many of these kids were kids when their parents lost the car, or lost the house, or their siblings had to move back home and, because they lost the job or couldn't afford. And so they started to have a greater appreciation of how fragile, a job can be, or stability, things that look really stable aren't necessarily stable. So I've noticed the trend I've seen is that they are coming in willing, and not only willing, but wanting to do things more on their own, to take their own destiny into their own hands, not to rely on other people to make that happen. So has anybody else seen or noticed that at all? I don't know if that's, somebody coming in, if they're only in their young 20s, of course there are exceptions to this, but they're likely not quite ready to make a $5,000 water treatment purchase yet. It's probably not on the, that's not where they are with the need right now, but it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts them, because they're not that far away. They are coming into, into the consumer pool here pretty soon. Would you guys agree with that?
I agree with that.
Okay. So,
my paycheck. No.
right, Jen being a millennial, right, a 26 to 42, has relied on me to supply. I remember when I to your point, Stacy, about the technology, when I was in sales, and this was 20 years ago, we didn't have the apps. There weren't the tablets or the iPhones or and certainly you didn't have apps on water softeners or reverse osmosis systems or anything like that. But they did have a computer, a laptop presentation. And I went in, I actually, because my writing was not that great, my handwriting, I actually carried a little portable battery-operated printer with me and a laptop, and I was I actually went in and did a digital presentation on the laptop, and printed the sales agreements and everything right there at the customer's home. And I got to tell you, even people my age or older were fascinated. It looked really professional. It looked, they were very fascinated by it. So I think that all of us now expect to see some technology. I mean, going paperless, I think, does have an impact, but I think that's going to become even more and more and more important as the younger generations come, become our customers. I think a lot of times, the way we have always done it. Look, and I like writing on paper. Sometimes it's faster, it's easier, it's there. But I wonder if it really does look old school to a lot of the people that we're starting to sell to. So that might be one of the ways it has an impact as well. Final thoughts on this as we kind of wrap this up. Any final comments? About social media, I think that's really important too, is to take a look at the importance of social media as they come in. A lot of the younger generations coming in are and it's not Facebook. Facebook works great for the old people. That's what my daughter tells me. Facebook's
exactly.
For old people. It might make sense, and I certainly haven't really done this. Jen, you have a little bit, but I think, figuring out how to utilize Instagram or Snapchat or even TikTok, in our sales processes, I think is going to benefit us as we move forward in the coming ages. So, all right. Any last comments? So again, everybody, please join us next week. Live if you can, for our special guest. And so we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate it a lot.
Take care.